Going on, y'all. This is Cat Magnus, the propagandist. Today is Tuesday, January 4th, and this is the Awakened Demagogue podcast. Happy 2022, everybody. I'm a little under the weather these days. So you get to listen to me drink tea and things. I had what appeared to be an early onset sinus infection, and then my sinuses never really clogged as if to appear infected, but I was coughing up phlegm, so it's probably like a cold or flu, and I gotta get tested for COVID, and then there's no COVID tests available, so it's like, what the fuck is my life right now? How am I supposed to get the answer to infection if I cannot find it here or anywhere? I don't know, y'all. But what I've been thinking about lately, and dealing with as of late, on my last podcast, I went on a rant and was a little upset about current events in my life and around the world because what the hell? Why are y'all messing with me? And, you know, folks are still messing with me. But my latest revelation is the fact that these folks, I've been watched for a very long time. And I don't know if it's about, you know, keywords from my online activity from way back in like 2011, or I was just always a person of interest for certain individuals and groups. But I know on my YouTube, I made a video where I just thought I was doing, you know, some spoken word or whatever, and I said, well, you know what it's like to walk into a room and everyone knows who you are before you do, and it sounds all poetic and, you know, like, ooh, like a, like, I don't know if anyone's seen the movie The Skulls. I have a lot of paper on my desk, guys. I just my life is a shit show. But anyway, I don't know if you guys have seen the movie The Skulls, where Joshua Jackson, that's it, he was the main character, and basically he was the rags to riches story. High achieving kid that came from nothing, got himself into an Ivy League school, worked his ass off, good character, good moral character, upstanding guy. And of course he's, you know, not cut from the same cloth as the elite rich kids that were legacy, so they were just automatically initiated into the club. However, since he had higher quality of moral character, the higher ups in the Order of the Skulls, which was supposed to be a caricature or a storytelling of the secret society Skull and Bones, Joshua Jackson's character was inevitably recruited for basically his intellect, his loyalty, his character, who he was as a person. The men in power found that his character would be worthy of leading the world and being a part of the nobility, aristocracy, oligarchy, whatever the hell you call it these days. And so it's, the movie says about his story with that, you know, they really like watched him from behind the scenes, watched him be the captain of whatever, like the row team, the rowing team, I forgot what it's called, whatever. This, that, and the other. And eventually he actually left because he didn't like the corruption. He didn't like, it's actually like one of my former co-workers, employees, whatever. But she said she wanted to go to law school, but she decided to quit because basically she thought she would be the only one doing any good because she was exposed to the corruption and da 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 da. You know, I remember there was one scene in The Skulls where Joshua Jackson was talking to his elder mentor, big brother, you know, that's what we call in the fraternities and sororities, your big, the prophites, the ones who have gone before you that guide you along the way on how to act and conduct and do the things and be amazing, like your new brethren. So he's talking to one of the higher-ups, and he's looking at the wall, you know, he finally goes through some initiations and he gets into this inner sanctum, this inner chamber, and on this stone wall is carved the word war. And, you know, he's philosophical with his, you know, big brother. He's like, well, what if we're about peace? And the old man says, well, There are always wars to be fought. Good Lord, aren't they? Man. Amen. And, yeah, Joshua Jackson didn't like the terror of it. He didn't like being followed. He didn't like being watched. Of course, they lure you in with the spoilings, and you know, he woke up and had $1 million in his bank account one day or something like that. And you know, that's usually what you get in fraternities and sororities when you're initiated. You get gifts, and you know, they're supposed to be talking about this Illuminati conspiracy thing. You know, once you're initiated, they give you a bunch of money, so they, you know, enact that on the movie. Of course, it's not reality per personal experience. But wouldn't it be nice? And, anyway, so, you know, everything started nice and sweet and fun, and then it got real. You know, saw the corruption. He saw how people would cover for each other. He saw how they would kill some people because for revealing the secrets, or you know, some people were, you know, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And you know, that showed in the film. And Joshua Jackson was basically like, man, I don't want this shit anymore. I am going to go back to being a regular person. That was his thing. So basically, it's saying, yeah, you can get to the top, but there's a price that must be paid. And not everybody is willing to pay that price. Now, it's not necessarily as dramatic as conspiracy theorists make it out to be, where you're expected to give an actual blood sacrifice or a family member or something. But it's more so, I mean, to a point, it's a sacrificing of your sanity. You know, like these people really do, they really are the people in the highest seats of power in society, and they have access to everything. And, you know, I guess the difference between someone who's in the club or initiated and not is one's awareness of who is watching us. When they say Big Brother is watching you, the difference between Big Brother being some metaphor and Big Brother actually being your big in a fraternity is whether or not you're initiated. Because the Big Brother that's watching you once you're initiated is likely your actual Big Brother or Big Sister in the organization. Different one that you choose, and if you choose a legit one like the Freemasons or even the Rosicrucians, but even the Rosicrucians say that you're not a true Rosicrucian until you're actually physically initiated in the lodge. And the reason is for that is because you do have this spectacular, weird, the Skulls adventure, the Freemasonic stuff. This shit is actually real, right? But you don't see, feel, or experience how real it is until you do the things in person and you rub elbows and network and participate and serve and become one of the, you know, the ones. And some people, they do their thing and they leave, and some people, you know, they make relationships and connections and they get more deeply involved than others. Life becomes really interesting or not. Depends on, you know, what you choose or how spiritual you are. For me, I'm kind of in the boat of Joshua Jackson right now, like realizing that these motherfuckers have been watching me and tracking me the entire fucking time. One person in particular, I mean, more than likely among many or something like that, but definitely in particular. I mean, maybe he's a person that, you know, he wants to give that, he wants the vet who comes through his lodge because he's kind of a power hungry, whatever the fuck. So, you know, he's doing that old school invitation only thing where he makes people feel special and elite. And then now it's like, well, everybody knows all your shit and nobody cares that you're elite. We all want to be left the fuck alone. And now the elitist mystique of all these orders is kind of being thrown to the wayside because no one cares about that shit anymore. Like, everybody's struggling. Everybody's hurting. Even if you have a lot of money or if you have the power, you are struggling more than likely the most because you have everybody ready to cut your fucking head off. And everybody knows who the fuck you are now. and you have an entire generation and a half of motherfuckers who don't give a fuck about you, what you think, what your initiation was, what your chant is, what your favorite vowel sound is, where you are in the motherfucking hierarchy. No fucks are given anymore. Amen, glory. Everybody's got the Christ consciousness right now. We got Christ consciousness all up through millennials and Gen Z and Gen Alpha. Because we're tired. We're tired. Y'all want to get invitation only and be special and da da da. Like, okay, well, fuck y'all, nigga. I don't want your invitation. I want to be left alone. I want to pay my bills and mind my business. I want to be left alone. Now, in the film The Skulls, Joshua Jackson's character, he had a epiphany, philosophical moment of illumination, realizing that power and prestige has a certain allure on the outside, but once you're on the inside, you know, the whole thing about the grass is not greener on the other side, or everything that glitters is not gold. And he decided that the gold was actually on the side that he came from, is being a regular person. Like, maybe he doesn't want to live in poverty, but he doesn't. You know, that's the thing, when you're living in poverty or you're living with trauma or something like that, like, anything else seems so much better that you'll do anything to get out of your shitty situation. And then you get out of this shitty situation and you find yourself in a shittier situation. It's just that now you have more money or more power or more access. And it's just like, man, just send me back to what the fuck I was doing before. This shit is dumb. And I'm in my part of my journey where I'm like, let me go back to where the fuck I was before. Because this shit is stupid. It is so stupid. Like, but the caveat for Joshua Jackson's character in the film The Skulls is that good cannot be done if good does nothing. If good people continue to do nothing, to turn away, to be chased off by the dangers of power, prestige, and corruption, no good could ever inhabit the upper echelons of society or anybody's hierarchy, whether it be a corporation or whatever. No good can dwell there because no good is willing to stand tall and endure the battle and the fight. So we have this self-righteous moral moment, morality moment, whatever, realization. Power is not all it's cracked up to be, and it's not worth it. Let us go be among the regular people and the sinners. But, and that's very noble. But with that choice, no good remains at the top. Only evil remains in power. So that's why we have, and I guess that's the real story of the New Testament. That's the real parable, you know, that was the real story of Christ, Jesus Christ in the New Testament, is that in circles of power, be it government or religion or business, there is and always shall be corruption and spiritual wickedness. And it's not about some external spirit, it's the spirit of mankind and how he or she conducts oneself. And if they dabble in dealing with lesser spirits and that evil on the and you know, on the other side of the veil or not, but it starts with what's in the heart of man or human being. And if no one stays to do the good work, only a dark work, only a bad work, only a negative work can remain. Like I said, it's very noble to say, oh, I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to stand by society and follow the teachings of Jesus Christ. But who is the Christ? Who is the one willing and strong enough to stay among the ranks of corruption in the midst of the swirling of the serpent? The lostness of mankind, who is strong enough and dedicated enough and humble enough to be able to stand up and endure the battle that comes from the wicked, to be a beacon of light and righteousness for all mankind. That's the real book of Revelation. I think that's the real story. Jesus Christ. Book of Revelation, all of that. It's about the fact that we are at this place in this crossroads in humanity. Nation rising against nation, people against people, great earthquakes and storms and natural disasters and wars everywhere. And we know the beast, serpent. We know the beast, which is the ego driven and created system that thinks that mankind can outgod God because through its intellect, its philosophies, shit. And they just up there kicking it because who the fuck gonna check them? Everyone's trying to be the self-righteous Joshua Jackson character and say, you know what? I don't need this. I am going to turn away. I'm going to be like Jesus Christ and not give in to temptation. And I'm going to go dwell amongst the regular people. And we're all going to pray and wait for our Messiah. And I'm not knocking the people who say they're going to leave the darkness and go back into the safety of the light. Because that just means that you had your epiphany. You found God. And you were not the one chosen to continue. You were chosen to be saved from perdition, to be saved from the hell that comes from wickedness that you just witnessed. Now, when we get these light workers and things, you know, that's the little human-made army. Well, you know, they've seen the darkness and the ugly of it and the corruption, but they are still going to stay and fight, and it is only by the righteous light within their hearts and their soul, their spirits, that keeps them in alignment the Lord God in righteousness and truth. But even those who stay, whether they go into business or in religion, you know, the prosperity preachers or whatever, you know, the gurus, the spiritual teachers out here, whether you're a Teal Swan or a T.D. Jakes, you know what I mean? Or some random Hindu guru or something, the Dalai Lama himself. I wonder if there could ever be a her. Anyway, and whether you're in the spiritual realm or you're in the business realm, whether you're a Jeff Bezos or Elon Musk or a fucking Walton family or whoever the fuck runs Fox News and CNN, or, you know, the Koch brothers and stuff, or you're a Barack Obama or the royal family of Saudi Arabia, there we go, or Xi Jinping and I almost said Russell, Vladimir Putin himself, you know what I mean? That triad, right? Like, the power, the taste, we see these figures all the time in the news, whether it's real or fake, right? And we witness that which all Holy Scriptures speak about, because they ultimately speak to the nature of the human experience and the evolution of consciousness, amen, glory. And we watch these people continue to fall prey to their vanity, to their sin, to their gluttony, to their envy, to their sloth, to their lust, right? Because who the fuck gonna check me? Who gonna stop me? If I knew I could get away with murder and give and have no, and I don't mean like not go to prison, but like not even have to worry about anybody fighting back, man, I would not be who I am today. If I didn't have the fear of my mother and God, much less fear of 25 to life, I would not be who I am today. Now, think about the fact that the figures that I just named, whether government or private industry, spirituality, religion, whatever, arts and entertainment, a lot of them have circles and affiliations so lockstep and tight, especially if you're government or the military, because you are the ruler, you know, ruling powers. And who the fuck gonna check you? The only reason we don't wipe Russia off the map is because we expect a response. If we did not have to worry about anybody's nuclear or any otherwise response, yeah, world would look a lot different right now. If Russia or China, if Xi Jinping or Vladimir Putin could do whatever the fuck they want in the U.S. and know there's not a response, and where we are right now, we're getting to the point where they're seeing that there is no response to worry about, who the fuck gonna check them? They're not gonna stop. They're not gonna spare us because we say, well, I didn't vote in the last election. They're gonna say, you are affiliated with that which I disdain. You must die. You must be enslaved. You must be re-educated. Right? That's how it works. Watch the TikTok last night where a chick, I don't know, somebody took offense to a previous post and decided that they were going to try to get the lady fired from her job. And the lady is acting up, cutting a fool, shaking her butt, titties out, bragging about the fact that someone decided to try to get her fired from her job, but she owns the place. If you are truly in a position to where you are unfuckwithable, glory. That is the temptation. Who will you be? Whom will you serve? Will you serve your ego in the ways of this world and make TikToks about it? Or will you be righteous and just do whatever the right thing is? Ideally, according to your moral compass, but since a lot of people's moral compasses can be twisted or, you know, wrongly magnetized because of life experience, we have these central tenets that we find through all religions and philosophies, you know, the basic Ten Commandments, you know. No one really argues about the Ten Commandments themselves. People argue about where the Ten Commandments came from. Who or what is the God that engraved these Ten Commandments, universal commandments, into these stones? No one argues with the Ten Commandments themselves. They argue over the side scriptures, Leviticus, or the random musings of Paul, you know, Ephesians and whatnot. But no one actually disagrees with the Ten Commandments themselves. They all boil down to be a good person. Hell, the Ten Commandments are the laws that Jesus said in the New Testament that he came to fulfill. Amen, glory. That's the only law he really gave a fuck about. That's the only law God truly gives a fuck about. And those are the only laws that all humanity can absolutely agree on, whether we are a secular-based nation in the United States or a total and complete theocracy in the UAE or whatever the hell they got going on in Russia and China. Or, hell, indigenous communities. Stop killing people and don't rob them. Just ask for some seeds and learn to grow your own damn tomatoes. Glory. Even New Agers and magicians, you know what I'm saying? Even Satanists. I mean, don't be stupid. Number one. Commandment number one. Don't be stupid. And as long as you're not stupid, you're not gonna go around killing somebody for no good fucking reason, or when you know that you have spiritual power and access and tools to do things in a way that doesn't require someone to die, right? What is this life? What is this life? What is this life that I live? What is the life that you live? I watch TikTok and Reels. I like watching Reels to watch the dance videos and escape. But I like watching TikTok because I just love taking in the various people around the world. There are some stories on there where it's like I haven't been through a fraction of what this person has been through. And then it's, you know, the other end of the spectrum where it's like, I can't believe life could be so safe and perfect and perfect, you know, just perfectly carefully curated, if you will. It's amazing to me. especially when I run into the spiritual ones, and you know, we got the, you know, and like reading energy and tarot and divination and all that stuff, when you first get into the spiritual side and the occult side, it's addictive. Power is addictive. That's why it's so easy to fall to the wayside. Yeah. Power is addictive. And you know, we know how addictions work. Whether it's a sex addict, alcoholic, you know, crackhead, cokehead, weed head. Well, maybe not as bad as weed head, but you understand what I'm saying. Like, so when you're addicted to power, and a lot of people in power are, hence, you know, senators that won't fucking leave. Power is addictive. When you know you have that kind of all-knowing, because now, especially with the internet, they literally are all-knowing. Motherfucking all-seeing with the CCTVs everywhere. Know all your business. GPS know where you are. Right cameras, they know what you're doing. Probably listening to me right now while I'm recording this. Or listening to it on Anchor, because I put it out in the public on a podcast. So I can get a cup of coin. So it's like, when you have that kind of access and power, you can just tap whoever you want and draw them into you for whatever reason or need. It's easy to see why people would leave the fight. You get the little light workers out here who think they're doing something, but they're, you know, a lot of them are on their way to being just as lost and corrupted and who knows what else, as, you know, the secret cabal that they aspire to take down, or whatever the mission is these days. So it's like this ongoing cycle of consciousness, this winding road of just going in circles. Who am I? Is it right? Is it wrong? What's up? What's down? What's right? What's wrong? I can't believe my life is what it is. And I can't believe some other people's lives are what they are. But when we talk about changing the world, and you see everyone gets on the internet or they have these private conversations about policies need to do this, mask mandates need to do that, COVID needs to do the other, restaurants need to do this thing on Thursdays only. Think about the people who make this shit up, who's put it out into the world to create these thoughts, to populate universal mind. So many want, they say they want to smoke, but yet they're afraid to stay in the kitchen. Everybody wants to be the hero. And we've, you know, monetized the hero story. Sickeningly so. Whether it's, you know, painting the image of some political figure or someone in the military, or some overnight success story that doesn't necessarily exist, or someone whose content finally went viral, or the pastor who just went on this mega book tour, or Joel Osteen who just doesn't do enough with all that money and access and pisses everybody off. It's amazing that people who don't even know, don't even donate to his church, never even heard any of his sermons, are just like, well, do this with your church funds because I said so. You know what I mean? Like, the burden that comes with being up there at the top. You understand why they end up friends with people like Jeff Epstein. But that doesn't mean that that's the right thing to do. Like, that doesn't excuse it. It doesn't make it good all of a sudden. It just means you understand how people lose their way. But we can't make things right if we keep leaving the fight. We can't keep running away. We can't keep running away from the fight. We have to choose to stay in and be good and do good. Like, I'm at the point in my life where it's like, these people are either watching or listening to me anyway. So I don't need a Joshua Jackson, you know, self-righteous moment of departure. For fucking what? Y'all been watching me this long? Y'all gonna watch me after. I'm not going any fucking where. But what you can watch me do is wield this motherfucking sword, run circles around you, and not be fazed by becoming just like you. That's all I can do. And the moment more of us just, like, look at the world the way it is, and just say, this is what it is. And, you know, people talk about accepting things, but I don't think acceptance is about, you know, allowing abuse or whatever. Allowing the things to continue. Acceptance is just being able to sit with the reality, no matter how ugly or violent or uncomfortable it may be. And just say, this is what is true at this moment. Now, what do I do with this information? And we'll discuss that more in the second segment. All right, y'all, round two. So in the last segment, I discuss my thoughts on good and evil, consciousness evolution, and secret societies, and just life as it is, and how it is with the people in power and their choices, and how the world ends up because of it. So, at the end of the last segment, I was discussing how we all just need to accept everything as it is, just accept it all as it is in that moment. But it doesn't mean to be defeated by it or just feel powerless, like, oh, well, this is what it is. Oh, she's getting raped. Oh, he's getting killed. Oh, my life's falling apart. No, it's about, okay, this is an uncomfortable situation. Oh, okay, this person's choking. Oh, I'm sliding downhill. Or, oh, I am having a baby. Or, I'm finally writing the book. Or, I finally got the job. Or, I'm drinking my favorite tea. You know, whatever it is in that moment, good, bad, or ugly, say, this is what it is. And then, what is your next moment? What is your next action going to be? In 12 steps in recovery circles, we say, oh, God, give me the next right thing to do. What is the next right thing to do in any given moment? And the moment that comes from it. It's amazing how each coming moment and passing moment is also part of the same, like, present moment. So it's like, this is how we kind of know, but this is how we kind of remember, and yet this is where we are in the moment, like, how we're present. It's, time is a tricky thing. But as we accept, because it's like with time and memories, like, when your phone rings for about 30 to 45 seconds, your phone is ringing. But once that phone stops ringing, did it ever actually ring? Or is it just a passing moment, a fleeting memory? Why are we acknowledging, mutually acknowledging that that moment even manifested? Now, that's a dangerous thing because, well, you know, we're talking about life and death and health and stuff. It can be a very dangerous game to play. So I'm not recommending anyone play that kind of thought game. But it's just, you know, a moment in time. Oh goodness, what is that really? And when we think about, yeah, all us regular people, us, we paupers of the world, like to think about what we would do if we were the rich and the famous and the powerful. That thought process, that daydreaming is part of why I am where I am now in life, professionally. And it's just about figuring it out. Like, what would I do, right? If I was in this position, what would I do? What would I do? What would I do? And I think I even, like, altered my own consciousness of, you know, maladaptive daydreaming, trying to figure out, well, what is that? Well, what would I do? Well, what would I do? To the point where I actually did it. But I remember when I was, like, watching Alex Jones and stuff way back in the day, and I said I didn't want to be a person that just talks about it and thinks it's some kind of theory or something. I want to see it for real. And I saw it for real. And those of us who see it for real, you know, a lot of us just, you know, take the gift cards and sell out and keep our mouths shut. But at what point do we either be good people who sign up for the hard job and stay and fight, or we stop selling out and start doing the right thing, start using the power and the access to do right? Some people don't want you to do right, so, you know, they make your life a living hell. I've seen that firsthand. But that doesn't mean that you have to give up, although I'm definitely like, you know, move around, I'm done. But instead of, you know, letting someone get over on you and take advantage of you, walk all over you, and then you say, fine, I'm leaving, you say, look, I'm fucking done, you're going to leave me alone, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, move around, I got a mission to serve. And we need more people in the world that's like that, right? And of course, the ones that we see, the greatest ones of all, whether it's Tupac or Biggie or Michael Jackson, notice all these people are people of color, Whitney Houston. You know what I'm saying? That's not to say we didn't have our Marilyn Monroe's or whoever the fuck, you know what I'm saying, Princess Diana, you know what I'm saying? But the people who really stick it out and do good, what do? We get off, right? Princess Diana is the main case in point. She's still the people's princess. I remember watching that daggone funeral with my mom when I was a little girl, sleeping through it. So my mom would not have me miss that. It's one of those things that even if you see it on TV, you gotta make sure you see it in person. You gotta see it live. To say that you experienced that in some way, shape, or form. And mom wanted us to be exposed. And just thinking about my life and my home and just everything. But yeah, mom wanted us to be exposed. And poor Princess Diana, like, one of the greatest of us all. Offed, right? And that's why they say, oh, if you go in there, you be good and you do good, they're going to kill you. And it's like, well, guess it's my turn. And some folks have tried. Not for those righteous reasons, though. But I'm not here on this earth to, you know, cause a ruckus. You know what I'm saying? I don't mind playing dirty. It's just I'm playing dirty for the right reasons and for the right people and for the right team. And that's what's bothering people, because they think I won't get down and dirty. It's like, we gonna be dirty, man. We gonna be dirty for the right reasons. We gonna do bad for good. If we gonna do bad, we gonna do bad for good. Move around, depart from me. Not everybody is able to digest that. But, you know, we need more people who are willing to digest that. Who are willing to sit with that? Who are willing to walk into that? Lean into that? And present a perspective and a dedication to righteousness, you know, by any means necessary. Just war doctrine, you know what I'm saying? Like, no, we don't want war, but, you know, we've seen war. But if you want war, so help me God, someone else will raise your sons and daughters. Are you following me? Like, I don't want to do this. This is not who I want to be. This is not where I want to go. If you keep fucking with me, and then, you know, now I'm hearing somebody else. But the thing is, see, I'm defending me and mine. And I know this person is feeling the same way. But the thing is, there's a certain relationship, and I know that person still feels the same way, but my relationship goes both ways. See, if your relationship went both ways, you wouldn't even have a problem. That person would have protected you from even being put in that position. And this is my point. This person was supposed to protect me. You know, I'm hoping this person should have protected me. Was I right in how I did anything? No, but interesting. Amazon package delivered. But, you know, this person came into my, you know, we came into each other's lives and we made certain decisions. And this person that's trying to, you know, send energy to me. Hello, ow. You're trying to send energy to me. But if that person truly had your best interest at heart in the first place, you would not have been put in a position to need to feel a need to send me any energy. Because that person could have shut that down a long time ago. And that person did not. That person participated. The person chose to participate. So alas, here we are. Alas, here we are. My right ear is ringing. But at least finally for once somebody is saying something good about me. Good Lord. Oof. But that's the real of it. We all make our choices. And if we're going to do bad, at least do bad for good. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, was getting rid of Princess Diana really for good? No. Is getting rid of Hitler for good? At this point, it's questionable. But for most people, they would say, yes, that was a bad thing for good. Don't do a bad thing. Do it for good. Do it for the right reasons. It's about your intent. That's the thing about magic and prayer and any kind of energy manipulation. It's about your intent. The energy behind, the intent behind the energy that you're sending out or the action that you're taking, the words that you're speaking. Thoughts, will, and action. Holy fuck. Somebody is talking. At least they're saying good things, but good Lord. But are you following me? Like, that's what it's about. If you're going to do bad for good. Thou shalt not kill. But please defend your home and your family for the name of righteousness. Okay? Hitler was about to kill everybody. So he said, well, killer be killed. We better be the last one standing, bro. You can't kill everybody because they not blonde hair, blue eyed. That's not right. If you're going to do bad for good. A lot of y'all ain't willing to do bad. Or you think you're willing to do bad for good, and then you end up realizing that you can do bad, and so you do bad for bad, and then that's just what, bad. So we gotta make better choices. Do the right thing. And, you know, like, I think a lot of people turn back because it's like, oh, it's too bad. People are too evil. And it's just like, what can you do about that? You know, you can't run away and then leave people to suffer. You know, it's like that whole story where that lady was raped on a train for 8 minutes. They're like, oh, it's happening. What can we do? Pull the motherfucker off of her. Intervene. Well, what if he responds? That's a risk that so you're just going to say, well, he might kill me. So let's watch her and get it. What the hell? And then the DA is like, oh no, these were fine people. They didn't mean it. They didn't mean to just watch her be raped. They just didn't understand that she was being raped and they were watching. Like, what the hell is wrong with you people? What the hell is wrong with you people? Probably got a man that was on that train or out there in the world saying, well, he needed to go. He had to get it out. And you know, you just, when a man's got to do what he's got to do, he does it. You know what I'm saying? You know how many people actually excuse rape? But anybody, is anybody mad when a pedophile, a sick and depraved, not willing to turn back pedophile is murdered? Now, you know, it's crazy because then you get some that are murdered, but they really just are sick because of their own traumas and abuse. And they die in the worst kind of trauma and fear. Oh, that's horrible. And then there are some who get off on it or are actually pure evil and just like hurting children and hurting the innocent and raping the elderly or whatever. And is anybody gonna be, I mean, that person probably dies happily. I die the type of person, you know? Gonna murder somebody who either deserves it or is okay with it. And it's like, well, what if they're a good person? I mean, well, that's our attachment, if it's a good person that, you know, is ready to go. And then it's like, well, why are they ready to go? Are they ready to go because, you know, they're suicidal? They want to get away from bullies? Or do they want to go because, like, they have a terminal illness and would rather die on their terms? Why is it illegal? Why is assisted suicide legal if someone has a terminal illness and there is absolutely no way you can turn around? That person say, well, put me to sleep now because I don't want that pain. Why is that illegal? That person's going to die anyway. I let people choose how they die. That is a level of acceptance that most people can't wrap their minds, much less their hearts, around. Person is suffering and there's no way to end that suffering, then end the suffering. That was a lesson that I learned in caring for my mother. Like, there are times where I have like guilt feeling, that caregiver's guilt, and I feel like I failed her, or I did it, or I killed her. But it's like, either way, she was suffering. I just let it end. We agreed to let her die and end her suffering. You know what I mean? Because she chose how and when she died in accordance with where her health was going. And, you know, it's all about intention. Everything you do is about your intent. That's the mens rea, as we say in the legal field. Criminal law, mens rea. What was the mens rea? What was the motive? What was the why? The intention, the driving why. The goal, what you're trying to accomplish. What you're trying to get done or undo. And then, whether you accomplish the goal, you gotta, or not, you gotta accept the outcome. So you gotta accept whether you got what you wanted or you did what you wanted or not. And then when you accept that moment, like even when we talk about someone being raped on a train, well, we have to accept that this is reality. This person is being raped right now. So now what do? I step in and I beat the guy with a clobber and a cloak. Cob or whatever club, and then I play hero, or I call the police, or I tell people to get up and let's help her. You know, you gotta accept in that moment, in that second, split second, that the thing is happening or it has happened or whatever, and then decide what you're gonna do with the information. Accept that my mom is gone. What am I gonna do with that information? Accept that if you know, your husband or wife is beating you. Okay, then what are you going to do with that information? You're going to fight back? Are you going to stay? Are you going to leave? Are you going to take, you know, in that moment, are you going to take the beating and wait for the person to go to sleep? Or are you going to fight back? Or, you know, in that moment, this is what's happening. This is reality. Now, what do I do with that information? Candles are burning. Do I continue to let them burn, or do I blow them out? Or do I talk about the candles burning? In the moment, accepting that this is reality. And sometimes I think when we think out loud, that's us just kind of accepting reality. Like, oh, I thought this was supposed to be this. That is our processing and arriving at the point of acceptance of a situation not being what we expect it to be. Amen. When we start with acceptance, then we can decide what we're going to do with the information. So it's like, is life an ever going and ever in an everlasting process of grief? We're always either in denial or bargaining, anger. What is it? Denial, bargaining, anger, depression, and acceptance. We're always in one of those states about any given thing. You know, in life. So it's like, life is nothing but an ongoing grief process. I mean, even when you hit the lottery, you cry because you're happy for more and for better, but you grieve. You grieve the loss of who you were and what you knew. And you say, don't we all just have this thank you but good riddance, or thank you I hate you, or thank you you did everything. I mean, just, you know, this moment, you know, and that's the acceptance piece. Even if it's just thank you for allowing me to realize that this was wrong because, or this was happening because now I'm going to take right action. Immorality, spirituality, religion, philosophy are all about laying the foundation for understanding what the right action would be. What is right? Amen, glory. What I think about the state of this world and life is, I don't even know what to think sometimes. I don't know what to think or how to feel, to be honest. Not a clue. What I do know is there needs to be more of us willing to take the leap of faith. And that leap of faith, just take a leap of faith. Like, there isn't even really an and, it's just take the leap of faith. Leap of faith. Try to risk being wrong. Risk being right. Just risk. You know what I'm saying? Like, just gotta risk, man. I don't know. I don't know sometimes, because there's so much wrong with this world. And I can't really say wrong with the human condition. Like, sometimes we'll say like, oh, this is what's wrong with the human condition and this and that and the other. But it's like, how can we really say the human condition is wrong? I mean, we can say that it's yielding negative outcomes, or it's not giving us a pleasurable experience. So let us work on our states of consciousness so that we can have a more holistic and enlightened experience. I don't know how to make sense of what's going on in the world right now, of what we can look forward to. I know we say various scriptures and prophecies have already outlined and ordained that, you know, everything's gonna fall apart and we're all gonna die or something. You know, I just saw TikTok again. What is the Songbird movie on Hulu now, about the effects of COVID in 2024 and what the world will be like. I mean, this right, people are so stupid and paranoid, it might actually be a viable possibility. just complete doomsday, complete apocalyptico, like dystopian nightmare. And there are plenty, and I mean like legitimate academics who feel that we really are living in a dystopian nightmare. Just the end times. To think that these secret societies and orders, which are just like groups of people who share some common beliefs about the universe and how we interact with it, but they don't have the actual same spiritual beliefs or religions. The elites, the power brokers, all have this one thing in common. It's not about Luciferianism, it's about understanding quantum physics and how to use it. The power of one's own mind and one's auric field. Truth, science, and understanding, our true practical understanding of God and the universe. The esoteric understanding of all that is of all religions, hence all of us, you know, being of different religions or beliefs or whatever, and traditions, and it's fine, because ultimately we're here to understand the universal truth and the spiritual laws that govern humanity and the universe, amen. It's all about philosophy and what you think. And the thing is, the people who are most into philosophy and so forth are your scientists and philosophers and theologians, and most philosophers, or a lot of them, become government officials and politicians, because it's the worldview and one's philosophy that manifests the ideology that people go to literal war over. All war is about ideology, religion, philosophy. How, what you think right and wrong are, and who embodies right and wrong and objectivity and all of these things, and morality and righteousness, the most and the best. Everything about our world and our societies, secret or not, it's based on that. When we see the clash of civilizations, it's the clash of societies, the clash of ideologies, the clash of, for some, gods. So many different ways to see the same thing, to understand it, to communicate it, to be one with it, to share it. Can we ever truly agree? Is there ever a way? I mean, even if we take all the perspectives and distill them down to that one singular truth, I mean, everyone can agree about, like I said, the Ten Commandments and basic morality, and yet we're still going to war over, fighting over who said it correctly. The fuck? Or who said it first? Can we ever truly know peace? Can there ever be peace without war? Universal law says no. Well, you cannot know, understand, and experience one without the other. So on and on it goes. Cycles of life. Deuce.